we have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to the sit down at the Purely Arsenal podcast. It's 3 wins out of 3. Top of the league. Get used to this, Neil. How you doing, mate?
Well, you're in the Arsenal top and James is in the Brazil top. It reminds me of 98. When we won the league and the FA Cup double, and we also won the World Cup. So I will say no more.
Love it, love it. And that's hinting a little bit at a Paqueta signing in the transfer window, I think, there, Neil. If you know what I'm saying, yeah? Another Brazilian sign. James Johnson with
me. You know me, you love transfers.
How you doing, James? You right?
Oh, how can you not be happy after this weekend? I find the most ardent, angry Arsenal fan not to at least crack one smile.
Exactly. We've got nothing. We're very few negative things to. I don't regard us as a massively negative podcast, but it could have felt that way over the last couple of years. You know, it's been a tough one, but so nice. Last season, boys, we were at this point. We were 0 points, minus 9 goal difference, I believe. 7-9 goal difference. Complete disarray. The team was, didn't really know. Questioning the manager, questioning the players, questioning the club, questioning the owner. Obviously, we're only 3 games in, but it's amazing.
I'm questioning myself at times. Why do I support this club? Why do I do it to myself?
I wasn't wearing this on the third week of the podcast. I can tell you, I'm not glory hunter. I just, you know, I couldn't throw it in people's faces. But obviously, huge turnaround. Top of the league, the only team with 100% record after Man City's lucky draw at St James's Park yesterday. They are trying to keep tab with us, but it's a difficult one. So, Neil, we've. In all 3 games, first question I've got to you is I felt we've started really fast in all 3 games. And I think that's a really, sort of, when I go back to the best times as an Arsenal fan that I had, which obviously were the sort of peak Wenger years from 98 to 2005-ish. For me, you have other ones, I'm sure, but that was also part of mine. So but that was notorious. We were notorious for fast starting, trying to win games early. And we went for it again. And what was great about this, Neil, is we went for it again, but we got sort of 2-goal advantage this time, which we did against Leicester, but we didn't against Palace. But we started amazing, Neil, I thought, didn't you?
Yeah. I when I watched the last 2 preseason games, that's when I saw it coming. I thought, wow, Jesus has injected something pretty phenomenal here. And you know what? Yesterday, I know you guys are going to definitely disagree with me, but yesterday was the first time I really noticed Zinchenko as well and what he was doing and what he did, because I think he was he showed some moments of genius when he was defending, and he really shone to me. And then I distinctly saw him, how his partnership with Xhaka is working so well, and how they interchange at times, and the fact that Xhaka's moving forward as well is just ridiculous, and it's just the whole movement has changed. And I am on another pod. I basically said this is reminding me of the Invincible era, and just before Wenger's golden era, essentially. And you know, it was one or two kind of agreements, one or two disagreements with that, but. For me, 100%, it is not. You can't compare. I'm not comparing anything. All I'm saying is the impact of the first 20, 30 minutes, where in those days we used to put games to bed, whether it being 3 or 4 nil up, expecting us to win 10-0, but we wouldn't, because I think the team just said we don't need to. Just took their foot off the gas. They were able to just roll the game in the second half and just. Carry at that level and to maintain that lead. And I think maybe that was because that probably helped us. Something you always highlighted, Jack, is that in those winning seasons, Wenger didn't use a really big squad. He was able to stick to maybe a good 14, 15, no more. And that was one of the reasons, probably because they didn't need to go and smash teams 7, 8, 9 nil and they could maintain their levels of fitness and not risk any injury. And I'm seeing that in this team. I really am. That huge press, intent, desire, speed, massively. And I think it really has been mainly because of what Jesus is doing up front. He's everywhere. He's absolutely everywhere. And the first goal was absolutely reminiscent of that. And it's the epitome of that. And it just shows how much he's got so much to his game, because he not only does the poacher's goal and knowing where he should be at the right time in the box to do the like little header that, you know, very similar to what he did for the goal against Leicester, with Vardy giving us a great assist. He knew exactly where to be, right place, right time. But then he can also do that chip when he scores. He can also do what he did with that first goal yesterday. He's got so much to his game. And because of that, it's certainly directly affecting Martinelli, because he's always been great, good. But he's just got another lease of life almost. And he is completely terrorising defences. I mean, it's just incredible what he's doing. And I'm now happy that he's on the left. I was never quite comfortable with that. But now he's fine.
Well, you weren't comfortable with, sorry to cut you off at the end there, but
no, carry on.
But you weren't comfortable with it, in fairness, because you wanted a solution to the central position, right? When you're seeing Aubameyang walking around and Lacazette, you know, backing up into people on the halfway, like that sort of stuff, you naturally think of other, we all do, don't we? We think of alternative solutions to make the team better, because you know that's not the perfect. Oh, sorry, I'll let you finish your point, Neil. I think you were coming to
exactly. That's it, you hit the nail on the head. But I think also the other thing is I was scared for Martinelli, because I thought we could get so much more from him, and he might get to the point where he's thinking, well, is Arsenal the right club for me? And that was fear, you know, it was sending chills down my spine, thinking, oh my God, we can't lose him. We just cannot lose this guy. Now I'm convinced we're not going to lose anyone. I think they all know they're part of something very special. I've got to applaud Arteta. I've got to give him his dues. I don't know what's happened. Getting those signings in this summer, it's transformed the club. And, you know, even that other kid that we haven't seen. Obviously, we haven't seen Vieira yet. He could have come on Saturday.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I've got a feeling when we're 4 or 5 nil up against Fulham, I think he might bring Vieira on. The other kid he's doing well, Marquinhos. Sorry if I pronounced his name wrong, but he's doing, Marquinhos. So, you know, it's looking pretty good, isn't it, lads? I mean, I mean, obviously we'll talk more about the game itself, but come on, this is a great feeling.
It's our first, I want to make sure I get this right. It's the first time we've played the same team for the first three games of the season since 2005. But I also think it's the first time we've won the first three games since that year or the year before it. And if I'm right,
we did lose a game that season as well.
And what was it? Also, the year before it, the 03-04, was it? The 03-04. So that makes sense, because the start of the 2005 season were absolutely majestic too, until the Mike Riley corruption happened at Old Trafford. But
whole FA corruption.
Yeah, exactly. It's just unbelievable. We can't go into it. We're too excited about the current to go back on the past. We've done that for the last 2 years on a pod. But James, I was watching the Newcastle City game, and I talk about St. Maximin being like a cheat code, you know, where he just does things that you can't script or you can't plan for as a defence. Like, he gets the ball and goes past three or four players, and Jesus, he's better than that, because he's got such good end product, which St. Maximin is lacking. I'm not comparing the two at all. But that first goal, I don't think we've had a player, maybe since Alexis Sanchez, that can do something like that on such a regular basis, James. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just, I feel like you're already in my head and taking the words out of my mouth there.
Well, carry on with it on the first two goals. I mean, Neil touched on the start, but two goals. Tell me about it and how we start.
Let's go to it from source, right? Ben White scoops the ball in the air. It's not a very good ball for Jesus. It's not a very good ball. But like you said, like Alexis Sanchez. Now, Alexis Sanchez, for me, before, it was when he weren't passing to anybody and he was, you know, having temper tantrums near the end. He was the only guy in this sort of Emirates era, I would say, that used to pick up the ball from an area where you'd be like, well, there's nothing on here, what are you going to do? and then he'd skin about six players, cut in, and smash the ball in the top corner. And you'd just be like, oh, bloody hell, what? I love this bloke. I love this bloke. And Gabriel Jesus, he's exactly the same. Because when he gets that, I'm not trying to say it's a hospital pass or anything. Ben White's just pinged it into an area. But he's got that big geezer that's behind him. He spins him. They're thinking, oh, no, foul. Does his stuff with his feet where he's jinky-jinky, nice and everything through about all of them. Lays it off to Martinelli. Martinelli has the shot. Good shot. Good save. And, Neil, you mentioned this last year. I can't remember what game it is. So sorry, I can't remember the podcast. But you were saying, oh, I'm sick and tired. None of these players follow it in. They have the shot, and then where is the rest of them? They're not quick enough to react. None of them are following it. If you look, Odegaard's there. But if he's not there, Saka's behind him. And Xhaka is going into the box with Martinelli. Xhaka, Granit Xhaka, is running forward. He's trying to follow it in as well.
Yeah.
So whatever, you know.
Reminds me of Ramsey a little bit.
Yes, but we did the song, yeah. You know, the song was going rife. And, I mean, there's only water in there. But they're drinking something because the energy level for all of them. And Martinelli alluded to it. I mentioned it in our WhatsApp group about the podcast that he did with Wrighty. And they said in Germany, for the first 4 days of that camp before they had the game, no balls. They didn't have any balls to train. And it was all about, they watched footage and movement, and they said Arteta and the rest of them were like, look, this is scenarios we're going to do. And it's all about, if he goes here, where are you going to... It was literally all about positioning with the, you know, magnets and everything. And they said they loved it. They all bought into it and they loved it. And I'm like, you can see it happening. It's mad. I recommend any Arsenal fan, if you've got the time, go listen to that, you know, listen to ours more. But go listen to this.
Of course. Subscribe.
Exactly.
Listen to that one.
Because what he talks about, what they all trained and everything else like that, you're seeing it happen on the pitch. You're seeing it happen on the pitch. And they're all responding to it. It's amazing. It's amazing stuff.
But second goal.
That's insane. Just the way he's moving his feet. You look at it and you go, how did you let him go? And for the price.
Well, the weird thing with that, James, brilliant, is I don't want to. Obviously, we're not concerned about City at all.
Was it mates' rates? I don't know.
Well, hopefully, but the thing with that is, it is quite clear that I think, unlike Sterling, I want to say he was quite specific on the fact that he didn't want to lose Jesus, but Jesus wanted to leave, and Pep Guardiola's pretty consistent in saying, if someone doesn't want to be here, I'll let him leave. He did it with Leroy Sané. He did it with Ferran Torres when he. Only been there a year, right? Let him go to Barcelona. Was it Garcia? Eric Garcia? Yeah, never hadn't been there long when I think he went to Barcelona as well, didn't he? So it's I think we were in that bracket of player, and obviously what we were offering to Jesus was the ability of to trust him again in a position that he always believed he could have been, right? And that's what we were offering. But I'm going to get to sleep and stuff. He's another cheat code, but for different reasons. I think he allows us to do things that we haven't been able to do in years, maybe decade, which you saw in this game where both fullbacks were pushing on. For the second goal, Ben White's doing a he's on the bend of the track doing a, you know, on the 300 going around Saka, and I'm watching him going, Zinchenko's up the other side. He's up the other side. So we're playing a side that we feel, you know, at that point really confident and buzzing and superior to, but still, you know, I love the fact that Odegaard snatched it off Jesus. I think that's one thing that he's really lacking, the ability to be clinical, lethal, trust in himself in front of goal, not always be unselfish, you know. And if he's going to be a great number 10, like a De Bruyne, a modern number 10, he has to do that more often because he's got it, hasn't he, Neil?
Oh, yeah. What did I say? Was it the last part of the pod before? I said we just want more. He's great, but I just want to see more end product from him and the confidence within himself and belief, self-belief. And he just put it on a plate against Bournemouth. I was so pleased. So pleased he got that first goal and the second. The second goal, I want to talk about Odegaard. I just want to mention Ben White. I think he gets a lot of unfair crap in the world. I mean, that's typical of social media anyway. But he was actually involved, as James touched on. All right, it was a bit of a crazy, lopsided kind of hit, which lovely fell, miraculously did, Jesus and he did all the work, but he's involved in both goals, especially the second goal. He starts off the move, he does the overlap, he's doing, he pretty much created that second chance and goal. But Odegaard, so pleased, because he just, mate, he might have listened to this pod, who knows, but he's just like, yeah, you're right, I've got to be more confident in my finishing and let me just take it. You know, that which was the game? Was it the Leicester game where, or was it the first game where he should have had a shot and he didn't? Why didn't he just shoot?
Palace, yeah.
Do something.
Palace, he should have had 4 goals.
Yeah, he should have had a few, but I don't know when you're specifically talking about. Yeah,
yes. And this time he thought, actually, right, I'll actually take it off Jesus' feet. He did the opposite. He's like the polar opposite.
Jesus was delighted for him.
That was, he said he was really pleased for him. I mean, you could see Jesus went to kick it as well. If you just notice it straight after, but that was actually a really good finish. I know, you know, it wasn't just like tapping the ball in the net. It was actually a really lovely finish. I think that's going to just, if he adds that bit to his game consistently, oh my God, what a forward lineup we've got. Holy crap, we're going to get to the point where, again, you've been saying for ages, Jack, that we need more than one or two, you know, scorers getting over double figures. We might go back to those days where Pires would and Nürnberg would and Mochtonri and Bergkamp. We're going to have maybe 4 or 5 players. Yeah. In the double figures, and it's already shown. You told me something shocking in the last point. It's like, Neil, do you know it took, was it 6 games or 8 games to get to the goal tally we had last week?
Yeah, I don't know what it is for this, we've got nine in three.
It's just like, yeah, we're scoring literally an average of 3 goals a game.
Yeah.
And it's, oh my goodness, we've just got to keep it going. And I think
deservedly is the important part there, though, Neil, because, you know, there's been times in the past, even under Arteta, we've outperformed our expected goals for a 3 or 4 game period. And we've all gone, oh, you know, this is the moment, you know, where we're starting to be free flowing. But actually, the evidence wasn't there. We weren't creating enough. We weren't pummeling the goal enough. But we're sitting here in this game and we're talking about these great goals, but we're also sort of disappointed that we've gone offside for Jesus, should have been 4. We had another great chance afterwards, could have been 5, or if it was 4, you know, so. We're earning it, aren't we, really? I mean, we are clicking. We are really clicking.
It's a complete contrast to the previous seasons. You know, we were talking about, we just want to draw. But can you remember? So long ago. In fact, we were just saying, can we just score a goal? Can we just... Yeah. I mean, what a transformation. And I'm glad that the... fans are, or a vast majority, I was called true fans, because, you know, there's loads of idiots out there, but are recognising what Arteta is actually now doing. I think the documentary has helped. I think a lot of people are still trying to not want to, I mean, me, myself included, I was really gutted about us being involved in something like that. Now I've had to be, you know, I've got egg on my face. I think it was a great thing because the timing has worked beautifully, but it has shown us, I'll tell you the two people that's highlighted for me, Xhaka, and how he is as a person, and Arteta too. And it's just shown me a different side. I mean, I know there's so many others we can talk about. You know, you liked very much what you saw they do, etc. But for those two, for me, especially, they actually really do give a shit about the club. Sorry to swear, but, you know, they really do. And I think that... That's tremendous, and I think it's just buoyed everyone, and I think everyone's got on board with what he's trying to do now, especially what you highlighted earlier, James, about, you know, the interview between Martinelli and Wright. Yeah, I remember they did say that. They just focused on movement, and we were criticising that in the past, that where's the off-ball movement? They're not doing anything. There's no identity. There's no shape. There's no nothing. And now everyone's within the space of 5 or 6 games. We transformed, literally. So, and let me just say something else. I think the next 3 games are going to be, I think it's going to be 6 out of 6, by the way, lads.
Jesus, I can't even think beyond Fulham. I don't even know we're playing beyond that. I can't look at it in my head.
Neil makes a great point as well, because he's saying about identity and system. And there were a lot of times where we were trying to figure it out. And I'll tell you what, the way that we look now, especially with Zinchenko, the way that it's a 4 out of possession, in possession, it becomes a back 3 of White, Gabriel and Saliba. And he becomes like an auxiliary mid. He becomes an extra midfielder. And that's that teams can't handle it. Yeah. You know, okay, people are like, oh, who have you played? You haven't played a big team yet. You can only beat what's in front of you.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what, they cannot. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. They can't handle that. We are confusing these teams because they're like, when Zinchenko's coming in and playing it out as well, it's amazing. He's another one. You know, you look at it and you think, well, if Man City have let him go, who have they got at left back? They haven't.
Yeah.
It's just, again, it's another masterclass in the recruitment and the purchasing and the fact that...
Again, another player Arteta, that wanted to play.
Well, yeah, but Arteta knew it. You know,
yeah. Are you finding with Zinchenko? Because I think the most interesting position on the pitch in terms of what could happen with our current squad is right back. So I want to get back to that. But with left back, I think like Neil touched on earlier, and you just touched on a little bit, James, like in terms of his uniqueness and his sort of specificity in the way he plays.
The levels gone up. You know, I'm a man from a Glaswegian family, but I'm sorry, Tierney. The levels gone up.
No, you're absolutely right. But this game, you really saw that, and Neil touched on it as well in saying defensively. Like, obviously we've seen him. We've not accused him, but we've criticised him a little bit in the last couple of games
yes.
for getting caught out. But he's actually really good. I mean, he was the last man sometimes at corners, and I was like, is he that far? But he's very, very good at anticipating where the ball was going to be. Do you remember that one that he did over the top, and he just sort of jinked the player and gave it off to Saliba or something
is.
Like that?
He really is.
And he did that a couple of times in the game where he's technically so superior to what we've had in that position, and that's not really any offence to Tierney because he's unreal.
When Tierney come on, he was played as the left midfielder, and Zinchenko stayed at the left back. So that shows how good the manager thinks he is at left back.
Who did Tierney come on for?
Xhaka. He took Xhaka off, didn't he?
But that's another thing I want, because I think Xhaka's been terrific in the last
few
games. And I'm not silly enough to think, to bracket Xhaka into these three games and just think, okay, well, that's the solution sorted.
No.
I still think that's a position. But I do think Zinchenko playing makes Xhaka's role even harder to fill with someone else because of the way they link Xhaka filling that left back space more often again. I mean, you know, you bring in another A, do you have the capabilities of doing that? Do you know what I mean? Like, Xhaka is quite good at doing that. We have to say that.
Well, being controversial, if I can, whoever this new eight we are looking at and potentially buying is going to be, if we get him in before Fulham, he don't start. Sorry.
No. Well, no one does, do they, at this point?
And when's the last time where we, you know, can't drop Granit Xhaka.
No, fair play to him. He's really good.
I mean, Neil hit the nail on the head about the documentary and everything as well. He got a chant. He got his name. So, you know, okay, we'll probably speak about the chant later on.
Of course, been seeing it all weekend. Yeah,
they were singing his name at the end of the game just as much as they were singing the other one. And you know what? I saw his face, and the guy was beaming. He's finally like, I've cracked it. I'm here. You know, they love me again. I've cracked it. I'll tell you what, I don't want to get carried away, but I remember Liverpool years and years ago, their fans could not abide Henderson because they were all about, oh, Gerrard. And all of a sudden, you started to put better players around him and maybe, you know, you pumped him up full of... No, I'm joking. The minute he started to get better players around him, he lifted. He became something a bit different to what you thought. And I don't know. I'm getting, you know, little tiny vibes from Xhaka here that are like, there's better players around you and you're lifted. Is it because he's finally got competition? I don't know.
Do you know what? I've been pretty willing to get rid of Xhaka for the last couple of years. I'm not going to say that I haven't. No, but the documentary emphasises more than maybe even I would believe. You know, he's definitely a clear leader in the team. Like, you know, when they walk into the locker room after a win or after a loss, him, Ramsdale, you can hear the voices, you can see the respect for him. I'm not, you know, I can't argue with that. And I've come to this early on this summer, even with the way we were looking in pre-season, I came to the sort of opinion of he's definitely going to stay, and I think that's a good thing. But I still want to challenge him in that position. I still think that needs to happen. And my opinion has been on the central midfield after that, and I think I've texted you more about it, James, because it's more of a transfer window thing, has been to watch how much Sambi Lokonga plays in these early days, because I want to see, are we using him, or are we thinking more down the Nuno Tavares route with Sambi Lokonga this year? I'm curious what's going to happen in the next week or two with him, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Neil, emphasising a bit more what you were saying in terms of getting goals from different areas, and we're so worried we couldn't get that last season. Our top goal scorer and player of the season for the last two seasons, people are now worried that he's not playing well enough. But what is fantastic about this is that we're not needing him to play as well, and not needing to rely on a 20-year-old who we've put way too much on his shoulders over the last 2 years. And I find it not, I'm not concerned by it at all. I find it quite a relief when I'm watching it, that we're not having to make him run from one side of the pitch to the other and drag 2, 3, 4 players out of position. He's been quieter, but I'm not concerned really about his form at all. Are you concerned, Neil?
Give the lad a break, please. Jesus Christ. Fine, isn't it? In fact, what did I say on the WhatsApp group? I'd like to see a few more attacks on the right. I mean, seriously? Where everything was to do with him before, now it's not again? Ah, it's great. It's great. If he could have a quieter game and we're still smashing teams apart. Just yeah. What happens when he decides to think, let's suck and make a name for himself again in this game. Oh, it's all good. I'm not concerned at all. I'm not concerned at all. And I've got to the point where, you know, we've mentioned it. I think it would be good if we can get someone in for him and maybe play that every third game where he can just get a break. He definitely needs a rest. That's my only concern. He does need a rest because we know for sure he's going to the World Cup.
Yeah. And going to play
a big part. He's not going to get any rest that other players may do. So I really do think we need someone to come in. Pepe is obviously either out of the door, he's just not going to feature much. We need that. But if that is he better off, you know, having a complete break? No, I mean, if he's going to be quieter in games and we're still in control, I'm all for it. There's nothing wrong with it. And we've got to keep highlighting his age. He's still a young kid. Let's not forget that. He's got his prime and everything else to come. So no Jack, no James. I have no worries, no concerns for him at all. Not one bit.
Could I just butt in on this, right?
Yeah.
People have been saying he's been quiet. And other people, you know, you get, like Neil said, you get these idiots that are like, oh, he's just a bit rubbish at the moment, isn't he? It's not all clicking for him. It's a bit...
That's my brother. Right. He's been texting me that the last few days.
Okay. Well, what I will say is, if Shaka's rubbish, right? If this is Shaka whilst he's... Saka whilst he's rubbish, his work on his own against Palace gets us the second goal when we need it. Against Leicester, he pinged that one in that Xhaka hit the header from, should have scored. He should have had an assist there. He had the second one to Jesus, where Jesus smashed it over the bar and was like, oh, you know, bugger, that was my hat trick. And then that's when he got subbed. So that was another one that he had there. And at the weekend, we were mentioning it better. He fizzed some low crosses into that box a couple of, like, two or three times. Yeah. So it's nothing that he's doing. He's just been incredibly unlucky that no one has tucked away the stuff that he's created.
Yeah. And he was part of the second goal too, wasn't he?
Yeah, but if this is him whilst he's quiet and he's rubbish, then I can't wait for when he's good, because if he's still producing like this when he's crap, then when he's awesome, then wow, okay. He's not crap. He's not crap at all.
And I think just to add to that, James, sorry to interrupt both of you, but it's also because everyone else has become so much better than they have been, plus we've got these new players. It's almost like it's making his levels come. If they're not, so don't. It's just my words here, so don't take it literally. But it feels like he's come down a little bit, because everyone's like almost gone to his levels, because he was the one that was carrying the club for so long, right? So the highlight was always on him. Now the highlight is on maybe 4 or 5 players, not just one player. So it's almost a psychological thing as well.
It definitely can't hurt to get him some true competition.
I would say, in that position. You know, to keep, look at Martinelli, for example, right? Didn't even know that position. He made that position his because of his performances. But there was a large part of last season that you would ask, you could have asked 50-50, you would have got from who starts, Martinelli or Smith Rowe. They were neck and neck for that position, and he's made that position his own. And that's because of the quality we had over on that side. We've never really had that with Saka on the right side, and it'd be really nice if the next 10 days we can address that by putting someone there that maybe he can even, you know, learn a few things from, right? There's nothing wrong with that. He's 20 years old, and he definitely is humble enough to realise he can improve and da-da-da. So I that's why I go back to I would like someone with experience to come in to help those, because we're quite young on the wings, aren't we, which is great. Because we don't know their ceiling and they're getting better and better. But I would quite like that, whether we do that or not. But if at the very least, get someone in that can provide some true competition and provide him some key rest. For example, it's already starting next week, isn't it? We've got a game, and then we've got another game midweek against Villa, I think it is. Or, you know, so it's starting those two games a week. It's going to be really, really interesting. 2-0 up, and we took our foot off a little bit. But I thought first half we were really fantastic. It could have been 3, could have been 4. And some people I hear again saying, well, we didn't do it for 90 minutes again, you know, this, that and the other. But this is, it's fine when it's the way of you've got the goals in the bag and now you can take your first foot off the gas, James, isn't it? And that is huge. I don't think people are understanding how huge that is for the fitness of the team over the longevity of the season. We've had 3 games now where we've been able to drop a gear before we've hit the final whistle. And in this game, we could do it pretty much from the second half onwards, James. Well, certainly from the point the old Whippy Delish came in from the pink Rolls Royce. But feel free to touch on that as well.
Well, you know, it's not the first time on a Saturday I've watched a big Willy pop a cherry. So it was... That's you cancelled. Sorry, lad.
No comment.
Unbelievable. This guy. Wow. Just
unbelievable,
wow.
Isn't he?
Let's just touch on him defensively. There was one in the second half where the guy's got a head start. The guy's passed him. And he still just sprints.
Glides.
Bang. There you go. Get the ball back. Pass it. He's unbelievable. He really, really is. And the goal, I mean, Arteta hugs his set-piece bloke because they're doing a madness together. It's really well worked again. It really is. And the finish, I mean, the only way it would have been better is if it actually hit the bar and made the noise, because everyone knows the bar and in goals are much better. If you get the doo-doo and then it goes in, it just makes you feel a bit better. But it's still unbelievable. It's still unbelievable. What a goal. What a player. I mean, the chance, unbelievable. Like you said, we've all been singing it all weekend.
It's a brilliant chance. These young boys in the, you know,
it come out of nowhere. Like, I think just one bloke was singing it for a laugh. It's made the others laugh, and they're like, "No, we're all going to join in there."
What must he feel, James? He's 3 games in, and he's got probably the best chant any player's got. 3 games in, Gabriel must be sitting there going, hold on a minute. I know it's on my name.
Three seasons deep, and I
felt
some,
a bit for Gabriel, to be honest, because I like Gabriel a lot. He's obviously he's not quite at the level of Saliba, and I'm going to say that already. I don't think he is, but I did look at him and I thought, well, but sometimes players and fans just connect, and it's a lot of the time to do with the quality of the player, but sometimes it's something else or whatever. But it's there, isn't it, with Saliba, James? And it's probably down to the quality.
You know what, Jack? A lot of it was because you had people that connected to him because, like Neil said again earlier, they hate Ben White because they wanted Saliba there instead. Now that he's here as well, you've got the people that were like, well, Arteta was right to loan him because look how well he's doing. And now people are like, do you know what? I don't care if it was, I hate Arteta because of Saliba. I love Arteta because of Saliba. They're just like, he's here, he's playing, he's scoring goals. You know, we don't care anymore. It's a loving, you know, Woodstock in the 60s. You know?
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's absolutely awesome. And I'll tell you what you say about Gabriel. Another one, don't worry about him, Jack, because look who started that move for that Nketiah chance at the end. It's his long ping, which people aren't giving him enough credit for. The way that he smack that ball with the left foot on the diagonal is just as good as Saliba's one and Ben White's one that come over from the right-hand side. He's got that in his locker. He can do, you know, he can do that quarterback-type pass up the field. So don't worry about him. Don't worry. He's just as good on the ball and off it as well.
I think he can hit another level alongside Saliba. I really do. Yes. I think Saliba can bring our back line up.
We all called it as soon as we saw the Palace game. We're like, Touré and Campbell, best two. Don't care. One game in. I don't care. I've seen it. I've seen enough.
Yeah, it's true.
They are the best two that we've had since Touré and Campbell. Yes. No disrespect to Koscielny and Mertesacker. When they were here, I rated them both. But these two are a whole new level because they're not just good defenders, they're good footballers on top. They're just overall good footballers.
Yeah.
And that's what you need now. That's what you need. I mean, Neil, we've mentioned it before, haven't we, with Rob Holding. We're like, oh, I just like my defenders who can just defend. They just defend. I don't want to see all this fancy stuff. But the way the modern game's going, you've got to have fancy stuff.
That was because of the way we were playing. I mean, you did something like that.
Right?
There was no confidence. There was no confidence. So if we were in trouble, Holding was there to boot it out. That's what I liked. Now we're on that different level, that different plane. So, yeah, now it seems a bit archaic, even talking about it this soon after it was happening. So, and I'm still never going to disrespect Holding. I love the guy.
I think he's great.
So, no chance. But, you were just thinking, I know it's a bit of a jest thing about, you know, Gabriel having no shot on him, you know, this guy 3 days. I think Gabriel's the perfect foil for him. And I think Gabriel's the kind of person that will actually, it's almost like, I know it sounds stupid because Gabriel's not that old himself, but he'll be almost his mentor, his almost father figure in there. Although even that, I don't think Saliba needs it, but it is there. And I think they're the perfect foil for each other. I think it's a tremendous partnership we've got going. We've got partnerships all over the pitch now, and good ones as well. Good ones.
I liked knowing that after the game, they said that they were all in the changing room. Apparently, the shirts were being swung around, squirting the old drink and everything, and they were singing the chant. Because Arteta was like, you know, he said, okay, you know, we've had the prick, but he still knew. And he's like, we want to make this boy feel welcome in it. So he must have just been like, this is a man.
You can have all the flares you like at Marseille, but you ain't got that chant. I'll tell you that much.
You ain't got people singing
your name week in, week out after 3 weeks of being there. It's different levels at this club. Do you know what I mean? I mean, when we're back. And, you know, you can do, I watch Marseille games, everyone going on about the atmosphere. You can see one fan, they're just chucking up flares. It's Liverpool FC. Rubbish. So get your chance out. Give us a promise.
Don't forget about Sinchenko's reaction as well. How amazing is that?
Yeah. He is the man for reactions, isn't he? Over the last three games, I mean, I've seen a few goals, and Sinchenko's reactions are just...
He loves the club, Chuck.
Yeah, there's pure... We can't underestimate how big Zinchenko, Jesus and Saliba have been for taking the team up a notch, I don't think. And we're seeing that. And those are three great additions. Obviously, Saliba's he's a new addition. Let's say that. So the three great additions that have added to what we already had. And maybe there's one or two more to come. I don't know. But fantastic. What I really liked about it after the goal was just a serious bloke in his Saliba. I mean, it felt like he'd kind of arrived, if you like. You know what I mean? Like he felt that. You know, at home and part of the club almost, and it's almost like you needed something like that to just, you know, make him feel a little bit, because it's been a very odd 2 years for him, isn't it, in terms of the connection with the club. But it was good to see him smiling. You know, he's a serious bloke.
And the knee slide, and I think, you know what, he is going to be our Henry of defence. That's how highly I rate
I rate him as a cheat code, really, because when you watch, there's a couple of, obviously City and Liverpool are able to do this because they've got Van Dijk and, you know, Laporte or Ruben Diaz or whoever it is in City centre back, but they're able to play such a high line because they trust their centre backs to go one versus one, exactly two versus two. And we are now, and I think this game I saw it really, we are now believing that we can do that against even the trickiest of strikers.
Fundamentals.
You know.
Fundamentals.
Yeah.
If you've got the confidence at the back, you can do all sorts of things going forward.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
It's actually common sense. If you know that all the players in the mid and the up and the front line can trust what's happening at the back, then they are freer to express themselves, to be creative, to be spontaneous, and to do magical things that we saw Jesus do with the first goal. It's all falling in line. It's all clicked in place. All the boxes are being ticked. Everything is leading up to us lifting the trophy in May.
And we can't disregard how important Partey is at the base of that as well. Obviously, he was there last season, but keeping him fit is going to be key, because you know, the drop off from that position is something I think we're all concerned with.
I can't wait for the weekend to watch Saliba versus Mitrovic. I'm like, what a joke. What a joke.
Yeah, he's a player, really.
Yeah, but he's up for this. He's up for it. I mean, people are like, oh yeah, but who have you played yet? I'm like, well, hang on a sec. I'm like, that Kiefer Moore, absolutely, you know, people are talking about Villa. I mean, I even talked Villa up about how they could be top seven, top eight. I think they're a good side. And they schooled Aston Villa.
Yeah, well, Gerrard's decided to fight some battles in that squad, hasn't he? Which is, yes. You know, kudos to him if it comes off. But he's not pulling any punches, is he? He's fighting battles with his captain.
He's got Mitrovic at the weekend, and like you said, then he's got Danny Ings. I'm like, that's two big, good duels for him. Good tests.
Big, big duels. Right. And he will pass them both.
Yeah,
trust him. Yeah, exactly. No, I trust it. I absolutely do trust him as well. It's going to be really interesting. About Fulham have looked pretty good, haven't they, at the start of the season. Yeah, I've had Liverpool fans saying that to me too. Yeah, who have you played? And I said, well, we've played about who you have, and you got 2 points. That's where we're at. You know, so I was like, you're right. Played about who you have, though. So let's see where we're at. You can only beat what's in front of you. But let's talk about one or two, not I don't want to say concerns, Neil, but just a couple of things in this game that had me questioning a few things. I again watched Ramsdale, and I think his distribution is fantastic. Had a couple of issues in the second half where one of his distribution went straight to their player. Obviously, he's trying to play pinpoint accurate balls. That doesn't bother me as much. His handling bothers me a little bit more. I know he's young, he's learning, his interview was refreshing after the game. He clearly understands where his weak points are, and that's important. Because if you don't do that, then you're not going to get any better. And he understands, you know, he is improving all the time. He's going to make mistakes. I get all that. I have a little concern at times of him, you know, yeah, just his handling, sometimes from crosses, sometimes knowing, you know, when to punch, when to catch. A couple of things that make me a little bit more nervous if we're up against better quality opposition. Did you feel that during the game? I mean, it was a really comfortable game, but if I'm nitpicking,
no, I think you're making valid points, and I don't disagree with you at all. I think you asked me this in the last part of the pod before, and I was saying, look, don't worry, you'll be okay. And I think we've got the luxury of saying that, or being not too concerned, maybe a little bit concerned, because we're playing so well. So in fact, if there's a player that is going to make an odd mistake here and there, it's not damning. It's not going to affect things. But you're right. If we're up against real high quality and they can take advantage of it, that could, you know, become a telltale, you know, issue for us. I'll only say this. I'll say, look, what's that saying? That the real great successes, they all endure a bit of failure to get to where they are, right? And I can see something of that in him, because he's recognizing as he's far, far from where he wants to be. So the first, that's a great thing. It's like, I know this is a really stupid analogy, but, you know, if you've got a drug addict or an alcoholic, they've already made a lot of progress when they've recognised they've got an issue. And he said that in the interview, that he says, like, I'm far away from where I want to be. So he's aware of that. He's got good one-to-one coaching. He's got good people around him. And I think while we've got a great defence in front of him, and those mistakes are not, so far, luckily, haven't led to anything catastrophic, we're okay. But I think you're right to be a little bit worried that there could be the off chance where he will do something like that and it leads to a goal, and it could lead to, you know, us dropping points. I totally understand it. I think it will be okay. It will get better. I keep saying this each time, then he did something similar again this game. So I was like, I'm a Ramsdale. Don't please. But I think, you know what? You made a really good point. Was it last pod? And I forgot to say something, and I'll say it now. Because the quiet thing, that's it. You said in the quiet periods for him, and then are you not worried about his focus? And I think, you know what it is? He's such a player. He's that kind of, he's got that mentality. But he also wants to be involved. You see all these players now being involved in such great movements and do great touches and whatnot. And I don't know whether I get the feeling that he actually feels a bit left out. So that's why he wants to get involved a bit more. And that could be leading to a rash decision here or there. So I think he just needs to be a little bit more careful and iron that out. And let's hope, you know, it will get better. And I'm convinced it will, because it has to, because I don't know. We don't have a Leno anymore to come in.
That's a worry.
And you know what you were saying about, and I know you've already had this discussion maybe 2 years ago or whenever it was, when Leno was, we were thinking Leno, you know, it was about Leno and Martinez at that point, wasn't it, the thing? That we can't, no club really has two great keepers. It just doesn't work, which is fair enough. So it's not like, you know, you were saying earlier about, you know, we need to give Saka some competition. I'm not saying we need to give Ramsdale competition, but I think maybe something a little bit better. Well, I don't know too much about Turner, as I said before, but, you know, it remains to be seen how well he does. And I think that might be good for him when I'm actually looking forward to when the cup starts, so we can see some more players come into the fold. And then we can see, and if they really impress, that can only be a good thing for the rest of the first team, if you like. But yes, tiny bit concerned. But let's see what the next few games happen, and let's see if he still carries on making mistakes like that. If he still carries on, Jack, then it's something that we as a podcast discuss might have to address a little bit more seriously. But for now, no damage. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah. Now, other than that, James, I didn't have major concerns. I thought it was a pretty good performance. Obviously, took a bit off the gas, gave them a little bit more of the ball in the second half, but we were still really dangerous. Could have scored a lovely fourth goal after the Saliba one. A smidgen offside, but I'll allow it because Ben White's one was also, you know, it could have gone against us. I didn't think it was offside either, but, we got one, we didn't get the other one. I think Anthony said that, and I was like, yeah, fair play. That's fine. It didn't change anything. The only thing for me was I felt Jesus probably deserved the goal. Should have scored after that. Again, hit it straight at the goalkeeper. You tell he was really frustrated that he didn't score from that one. But overall, a pretty complete performance. The last question I have for you, James, is just on the sort of substitutions. Obviously, Eddie came on, looked sharp again, looking very sharp. Got a little bit more time, maybe 20 minutes-ish in this game. We made changes later in the fullback. I think Tomiyasu maybe came on a little bit earlier, I want to say, but Tierney a little bit later. Do you expect now, with the two games a week starting up, that we will start to rotate those fullback positions a little bit? Or wouldn't you think? No.
Sorry, if that's ruined the combo.
Not even on the right. I agree with you on the left. Certainly not until the Europa League, because I think he's just taken us to another level. I think on the right, it's more of an interesting battle, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But at the moment, where if White, you know, White's pulling numbers in, if he's producing, he's not going to take him away. So, yeah. Tomiyasu is a brilliant crosser of the ball. I think people forget about that. How good, you know, they're just so good at, you look at how he is defensively and within all of his aerials, because he doesn't lose any. They forget how good he actually is when he gets further up the pitch and whips the balls in. I think he had numbers for best crossing accuracy. I think he was in the top, I think it was, what, five or so last season for in the box and final third deliveries from the fullback. So, you know, he's no slouch. But, I think he's going to stick with the tried and trusted until, you know, fingers crossing, because I don't want any of them to get injured. But, you know, until when somebody gets injured or something happens, I don't think he's going to budge on them. Why should he? Because it's getting him the results. You know, he's winning the game. So, you know, don't change the winning side. I hate to get all the cliches out, but, you know, that's how I look at it and feel. But, when the subs come on, three captains, mate. We had Xhaka have the armband, then he got subbed, and then Jesus finished the game with the armband on. And that goes to show you, you know, this guy comes in from Manchester City where he's not the main man. Arteta's gone, you are the main man even up front, which is the position you want to be, but also added to that, you're my second vice. After Granit Xhaka, you're second vice. And these lads have accepted that. You know, none of them have gone, you know, if I was a Gabriel or a Tierney, I'd be like, hang on a second, yeah, I've been here how long? And he gets it. But they've all gone, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
Let's crack on.
Made a huge impression.
And that's the thing I like as well. That's the thing I like. And yeah, like you said, okay, we took the foot, We could have easily got four, you know, like we said against Leicester, we could have easily got four, five, or six against them.
Oh, yeah. We had 14 shots and six, and I don't think it showed the quality of some of the chances we had.
But I'll tell you what you're saying about old Eddie looking sharp. I think he looks better when he's got Jesus with him.
Yeah, that was interesting. It was the first time we've seen that, really, wasn't it?
They seem to have something together, even from pre-season. I'm like, yeah. Nketiah likes the fact that he's like, he's going to make runs for me, and then I can make runs in beer. Yeah. He's like, he knows what I want to do before I want to do it, so I'll have a bit of that.
If we need a goal, that's going to happen yeah. quite a lot. Yeah, yep. I see that happening yeah. quite a lot, yeah. for
and,
sure.
And Jesus doesn't mind, you know, if he's been up front for the most of the game, he's like, I will hook out left or out right if you want me to, boss, for a little while. Having them all being able to alternate is absolutely lovely. And Neil mentioned the front three, front four earlier. Here you go, Neil, here's one you'll smile about. Odegaard, Martinelli, Jesus together. All three of their fees still cheaper than Maguire.
Who could be going to Chelsea?
Do you know you make a really good
You've still got 10 million left to spend after you buy them through. Still got 10 million left. So you've got love change. It. You buy them free and still got change.
We've got change. You made a really good point there, James, because Jack, if you were looking for any kind of maybe criticisms, or well, criticism was getting a harsh word, but I was a bit concerned that why wasn't he taking Jesus off? Because he was on that yellow. That's the last thing we need. Even if we lose him for a game, I don't want to see it. So we don't need him anymore. The job's done. The game's won. You know, take him off and give Eddie a chance. But now, from what you just said, James, that's quite interesting. Maybe that's something Arteta was looking to see, what could happen with both of them on the pitch at the same time. So I take it all back. I take it all back. Mm. Can I just give someone a shout about Barr? Ash, I wrote something as always about
you Gallagher.
I'm like about how Ash Gallagher, great supporter of this channel, a lovely guy. And it was me saying about how stupid this Barr decisions can be. You know, something as silly as a tiny hair. A fiver coming off one of the player's shirt makes it offside. And he said, he just put this tweet out and he said, the linesman should make a decision as they did pre-VAR. Then VAR should check to see if it's correct. If there's a clear and obvious error, intervene. Otherwise, the call stands. If you need to draw the lines on the screen, it's not clear and obvious, so you can put that shit to bed. Easy. And I think it's just common sense. It's just common sense. Yeah. Should be an absolute clear and obvious decision that they intervened for. And look, I'll play devil's advocate. It could have, so as you said, Jack, we could have had that decision go against us with Ben White being offside. And I thought the way VAR has been with us historically, I thought, shit, the balls of cards are going to be given, isn't it? But it was. So, all right, we'll take one. We lost one. But I think it is ridiculous as well, the way they've managed VAR. It's absolutely ridiculous. And a great point there from Ash.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think either should be offside, to be honest. Even the Jesus one, if you're looking at it that closely, I mean, for me, I couldn't tell. Maybe it was shoulder, maybe the foot kept him on. Up to me, that was a goal. I think it's pretty ridiculous when you get down to those little, you know, tiny fragments of clothing or whatever, but it's just pretty ridiculous. But let's do 5 minutes before I get predictions on incomings and outgoings. Neil, I know you don't really like talking about rumours of incomings, but outgoings, are you expecting Pepe, Niles and Bellerin to be gone?
Is it to me?
Yes.
I think even for themselves to, they're not going to get a look in, are they? Come on. I mean, Bellerin now has got, he's beyond Tomiyasu and White, if you think about it. I think he's just for himself as an individual, just go. I know he's done lots of stuff, good stuff for the club. He does seem to love the club, but we always thought he'd go back at some point. Maybe this is the best opportunity for him. Who else did you mention? Pepe. I love the guy. I always have. James, as you know, we both have. And and we always expected more from him, but I don't think it's going to happen, is it? So, and here was the other one, Niles. Yeah, and the same with Niles. Can't see him getting in now, can you? Especially if we do get, because he's always wanted to play in the middle. We've known that right from the start. If he was going to have a chance in the middle, he's definitely gone now because Xhaka's 100% sealed his place. And from what you two are saying, it looks like we're going to probably get someone else in there. Zinchenko can come in if we need be. Niles is, nah. I think for themselves, if nothing else, yes, I expect them to go.
Yeah, agreed. Good. Do you think, James, anyone else could go? I'm talking maybe off the radar. And if you do, who? And are you still believing in the two? I remember last week you said, you know, you think two could come in at winger and centre mid. Are you still thinking that will happen and maybe probably quite late in the window, I presume?
Yeah. In terms of someone leaving, it could be, you know, I wouldn't say it's anyone that's immediate first team other than the three that you've mentioned. It could be that we, you know, get rid of some, you know, maybe a kid here and there, but none of, you know, none of the ones that we think are going to progress into our next side, you know, in the future, or at least play those Europa games. So I don't think it's going to be your Aziz. I don't think it's going to be, you know, the Walters boy that played in pre-season. I don't think it's going to be any of them that you've seen that you think, oh, they're going to potentially come in. But yeah, I think, I don't even know who's going to buy Niles. For him, there's times where I've shown it. And for me, I'm like, if you just applied yourself, we wouldn't, you know, maybe it's not a good thing, but I look at it and go, you know, Tomiyasu probably wouldn't be here at the moment.
Because yes.
You were the right back. You had that. You had that now. That could have been you. You know, when Sam Allardyce says to him, knuckle down, boy, because you've got a great, you know, you're playing for Arsenal. And you know, you could be a first teamer at Arsenal if you just knuckle down and all this. For me, part of it, I think he's got to look at himself. You know, Neil said it earlier when he talked about the accountability that Ramsdale showed. I'm like, for me, I think Niles has got to look at it a bit and go, you know, part of this is me. It's not just all because Arteta don't want to play me or he don't like me. I think he's got to look at it and go, did I do enough? And if he really looks at himself, he'll realise he hasn't. So yeah, I can see maybe, I don't know where, but you know, that last week people get desperate, mate.
Yeah.
So someone might throw something in. But yeah, Pepe, look, I think that's pretty much done. Arteta, you know, didn't want to talk about it, so it was pretty
wasn't
much,
in the squad, was he? No?
Well, the vibe that he gave was pretty much he's not going to be my player anymore. So, you know, I want to talk about the ones that are here, thank you. I don't want to talk about who's not going to be here. And Bellerin, yeah. I mean, Barcelona at the moment seem to be, you know.
You won't play at all for him.
I've got the phone here because I'm thinking that, you know, I could, you know, I might get a call from Barcelona yeah. in a bit, you know.
I know. He won't play for him.
They're buying everybody at the moment. You know,
yeah. If they get him, I'll be stunned because they've not been watching him for the last 2 years.
No.
Play at all, so.
No, but they do that sometimes, though. Yeah. Especially in the Spanish league, they do them sometimes where they make these completely weird. Do you remember when Thomas Gravesen went to Real Madrid?
Yeah, some weird.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
And there was the geezer. Oh, I'm trying to remember his name.
Alex Son went to Barca, didn't he?
Yeah, there was the geezer that was at West Ham and he was terrible. And then all of a sudden he signed for Real Madrid. One of the French midfielder, I think.
Yeah.
Was it Julian Faubert or whatever? I think it was Julian Faubert.
Might have been, yeah. Braithwaite from
Middlesbrough. He's never played for West Ham. What's he doing there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But,
they do the odd one, don't they? Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm, you know, like I said, I sometimes field off Neil's energy and I'm feeding off it with his positivity. It's rubbed off on me, Neil. Well done after all these years.
Good.
I'm going to go. We're going to get the two players, Jack. I've said it. I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah. I'm wavering a little bit. I said
I
two
know.
Last. We give Pepe
don't
lead.
Ask me who don't ask me who the two are, but yeah. I think we're going to get two players.
We know the positions, don't we? Centre, mid and yes. winger. I think it is very hard. But the nice thing is we have a belief.
We need to get that centre mid. If we don't get the winger, I'll let that slide a bit. But we need to get this midfielder. Because
like,
again, there's still the thing we're not going to touch on, but also after that, the drop off. I like Lokonga, but we still don't see enough of him. And I'm like, the drop off is too high for if someone goes down in that position.
Yeah, yeah. I the two question mark players beyond Pepe, Niles and Bellerin, I put were Holding. And because I think the way we're playing now, I think it's the team is starting to move beyond playing.
I can't remember
like
who
Holden.
It is, but I know Villa have looked at someone else on loan now, haven't they?
Apparently, oh,
they were looking at getting Holding. They were looking at getting Holding permanently.
Yeah.
But now they've got someone. I'm trying to remember who it is. It's
well, that makes sense because they only want someone to.
Yeah.
Because they lost Diego Carlos for Achilles
yes.
injury, didn't they? So
yeah.
They just want someone temporary, probably. But yeah, I would watch Lokonga too as well. I think if we get a centre mid in. Jack is going nowhere, but Lokonga, if we get a centre mid in, I'm struggling to see where his minutes are coming from, to be honest. Because we've already proven in pre-season that we're not going to play him in the six. You know, like we
yeah,
tried
that's
last
why, that's why I think that, you know, everyone's going, oh, Tielemans. I think we're actually going to go for the six, more of the six than the eight.
Mm. Yeah, and then that would be...
I know that he wants to go to the productions, but for me, I'm like, you keep playing Thomas Partey at the base. If he goes down, that's a trouble. Who have you got? You could have either put Xhaka back, which I don't think he's good enough. You know, we've seen for six seasons he's not good enough to sit at the base. So Elneny, you can go, okay, you might be able to do three or so games there, but over a consistent period of time, Elneny's not good enough to be in there. Yeah. And like you said, we've not seen Lokonga enough. I know Aziz has been playing there for the under-21s. Arteta has been watching it, and it was a request that he made. He said, no, I want, can you please put Aziz in this position? I want to see how he develops there. And apparently he's been insane. He's been incredible playing at the six. Mm. But again, like we're saying on Saka, he's a young kid. That is a huge position to rely on a kid in. It's a massive, massive.
Yeah.
Maybe you never know, because, you know, Coughlin come out of the cold, and for a while he was put there and he was incredible for us.
Yeah.
And then it pilted out towards the end. So you can never say never, but I want someone that has been a six for a long time, knows that position. And it's going to be difficult because they've got to sit on the bench. You know, they're not going to start. So they know, even this winger that we're looking at potentially getting, they need to know that you ain't first choice.
Yeah, and that's what makes it hard to get the experience plan.
But, you know, it's London, we're top of the league. You know, in the words of the MP people, we're moving on up.
We've got charts every week.
Yeah, you're going to be
pink
paid.
Pink shirt.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, so, you've got great podcasters. You know,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. They predicted all of this.
What more do you need?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think the six has me more worried than the eight at the moment, because you don't really know where Vieira or Smith Rowe is going to be used this season because they're not played. So there's those options. So that means it's Ruben Neves or Sangar from PSV, isn't it?
Love it. When does the Europa start? Is it after the Villa? Is it that week after the Villa one?
Is it after the first international break, or is it before? I think it might be after, isn't it? I have to look that up. But before I do, like I said, I only really look at the next game. Neil, what's your prediction for Fulham at home? You're going. They've looked definitely good. Probably...
Strap myself in, here we go, right.
Yeah, there you go. They've looked pretty good out of the newly promoted clubs. They've looked... Forest have looked pretty good as well, but they've looked pretty good. So what's your prediction?
I was going to go really big, but I'll just go big. And that's only because of Leno. He might have something to prove. And Leno's a good
He played on the weekend, though.
He played.
Oh, did he?
He played in the first start.
Oh, right.
I'll be shocked if he doesn't play against us. I'll be shocked.
He'll be playing.
So only because of that, I was going to do... I don't think I've done a 5-0 for a while, so I'll go with five. Five-star gunners. Don't look like that, chat. Come on, look at the way we're playing. We'll have four in the first 13 minutes. Don't worry about it. I'm sorry. I'm gonna be reveling in this while we're doing this and we're playing like this. I'm going to be giving scores of this nature. And I'm not doing this when we were crap. Yeah, I know. Yeah, right. No, it was only 4-0 then. Come on. Give me some credit. I was holding back then. I got last week's prediction, right?
It said 3-0. It did. 3-0. Well done. Come on. Yeah, well done. Yes.
And even the 6-0 was still six goals, wasn't it? Two went the other way. It's going to be five. I think we're going to be quite comfortable. I know Fulham have probably been a good, you know, they've started off fairly well. And I will keep saying this, we can never be complacent. We'll keep our heads. As long as we do that, we don't do anything silly. You know, we've touched on the Ramsdale issues. We don't do any of that stuff. We'll be fine. And I can see a big score. You know, it's all a bit of a jest when we do these predictions, but I can see us being quite comfortable. I think we'll be okay. Just for that, I'll say 5-0. And I got the first scorer wrong last time. I said Jesus of the 3-0, and I'm glad Odegaard scored, but I'll still say Jesus. Jesus, 5-0.
Got it. James, what about you?
I'm going to go Arsenal 4, Fulham 1. And I'm going to say Martinelli is going to score.
Martinelli. Okay. And I will go 3-1. I hope we win. And I'll say Saka. Love to see it. Thank you for listening on @PurelyArsenalFP on Twitter. All our links are posted there. Purely Arsenal on YouTube. That's where you'll get it probably first. So subscribe there. We're trying to do one post game a week minimum. We may do something briefly for the transfer window because we know we're about to release that third financial lever and see where we go with that. So I think we're going to have a little bit of a madness at the end of the video. Not as mad as Chelsea. I tell you, they're going flipping mental, they are, with the money they're spending.
I'm not answering the phone when they ring me. I'll go Barcelona. I ain't going Chelsea now.
Well, it is quite nice to sit here, 10 days away from the end of the transfer window, knowing there's a supermarket sweep that's going to be involved, loads of joke signings, and it's nothing to do with us, and it's going to be Chelsea and Man U. We're going to be like that. What stupid things are they going to do? Who's going to win the I'm a Plonker award in the transfer window? And it's quite nice because, let's be honest, we won that a few years running, not last year, but a few years beforehand. So that is quite nice to feel what we need stuff, but we're not desperate. We're not in a position of vulnerability where teams are really aware we're you know, like Leicester are going to be once they get rid of a couple, you know, that kind of thing, and where we've been in that before. It's nice to get our big signing in early. So thank you, boys, appreciate it. We'll be back after the Fulham game, hopefully with a fourth win on the bounce and still top of the league. Keep it Arsenal, up the Arsenal, love it, leave us on. I'd play it out if I knew how to. I really would. Come on, please.